Morning, everyone. Welcome into the Risen Life. We're going to open with prayer and dive into the word that the Lord has given us for today. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. I don't take it lightly, Lord, that we have the ability physically and mentally to be here. And we thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. I pray now your blessings upon each and every facet of the services today. Holy Spirit, the presence of God, come and dwell in this place, Lord. Let your will be done according to the needs of your people and what you desire of this congregation, Father. I pray your blessings upon each one that sings and preaches and teaches, Lord, every musician, anyone that has a part in this service, Lord. Let us do it all to glory and edify the name of Jesus, to lift up the name of Jesus. For that we know draws all men unto you. I submit myself to you. Let my words and my thoughts be yours, Lord Jesus, in your great and mighty name. Amen. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about a subject that is not very popular, but it's something that we have all experienced in our Christian walk, especially. It's about suffering. Suffering. There is many different types of suffering that we do in this earth. Can anybody name a few of them? What kind of suffering do we have here that we endure? There's physical, yes. Infirmities of the body, yes. Mental, emotional, the stuff that you can't see. You know, physical pain, sometimes you can see where it's coming from. But do you know as a child of God that you suffer for righteousness? And that's the kind of suffering I want to talk to you about today. Suffer for righteousness. Suffering of the righteous. So in 1 Peter 2, God had given me the word suffering. And so I started digging around and listening to different things and different pastors that I usually listen to and reading in the Word of God. And 1 Peter 2 is where he took me, but I will read that and we'll dig into the other areas that the Lord showed me this week. And it reads in the New King James Version, it says, servants, some versions say slaves, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of consciousness toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly. For what credit is it if you, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. It's a calling. Do you want to know what a calling, your calling is? This is one of them. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And I want to read one scripture in the New Living Translation. I think it's verse number 19. I like the way it puts it. It says, for God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Conscious of his will. Notice, not your will, his will, that you endure unjust treatment. Anybody, because you're different, because you're a child of God, suffered unjust treatment? Yeah. A lot of jealousy. A lot of exclusion, which is, you know, what it is what it is. So, but I want you to know that's a calling. That's a child of God. This is what you're going to endure. And you know why? Because Christ endured it himself. He is never going to allow you to go through anything that he didn't already conquer. That he didn't already. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father as a priest that has endured and overcome it all for us. So he understands your afflictions. He understands the pain, the things that you go through in a daily life. He understands those things, but he overcame them all for us. If you look back at Matthew 5, 10 verses 10 through 12, he even talked about it in the, and we call them Beatitudes. I call them Be My Attitudes. I did a sermon on that a long time ago, the Be My Attitudes. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. And this is, you know, blessed are. But look at 10. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's what Jesus told us. Isn't that interesting? If anyone told you when you took this faith walk that it was going to be a piece of cake, they lied, because that right there proves you different. That's the word of God, the truth. Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you for my sake, and even talk falsely about you. Blessed when they persecute you. You are blessed. How many of us, when we're going through those times, think of ourselves as being blessed? I don't. I'm sorry. I'm still working on that. I am still working through my flesh, my emotions, and all the things that I want, how I want to handle those things. I'm learning to step back and let God's will be done. I'm learning to endure patiently. I am learning even to pray for your enemies. I still struggle with those things. I don't know that I'll ever be perfect in them. I don't know. God knows. But I'm trying to do my best to endure patiently, as according to his will, of course. Romans 8, 14 through 18. I want you to understand that when you suffer, you are suffering as a son or as a daughter, as a child of God. As I said, you will never endure anything that Christ himself did not endure and overcome for your sakes. Romans 8, 14 through 18. As for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. Did you see that word? Suffer with him. That we may be also glorified together. Did they tell you it was going to be a bed of roses? Example number two. If so be that we suffer with him. Our suffering comes in many ways. We have to learn to put our flesh in its place. We can't have the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye. We have to learn to put those things behind and put his will before us. John put it this way, I must decrease, he must increase. That's what John was saying. It's not all about me. I can't stand up here and get the glory. This is God's glory, not mine. I am simply a humble servant. And at times I am a slave. Because there's a lot of times I want to do my own will. But Holy Spirit says, no, you don't. You have been called to something else. Remember what it said? You're called to suffer. You are called to suffer with him. Well, let me tell you, if you want this position, it comes at a price. Every disciple paid a price. Every Christian that walks in the will of God will pay a price. And it varies. But the first thing you'll learn, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost your will. It's going to cost time with your family. It's going to cost time with your children. It's going to cost time at your job. It's going to cost you something. You just can't live any way that you want to and expect God to use you mightily. I've told you the story many times. I don't even get dressed without asking him what he wants. I don't buy clothes unless I ask God, is that appropriate? There are other things that I would like to wear. I bought something one time, and my husband looked at me and said, really, you think you're going to wear that? And he was right. I don't wear it. It's still sitting where it was put. I don't wear it because the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not for you. I called you higher. I don't care what the fashions look like. I so want to look like somebody that keeps up with the fashions and the time, but I found they are not holy. They are not holy, and I cannot operate in unholiness in any way, and neither should you. So that we suffer with him. We are suffering as sons and daughters of the Most High. Do you see the daughters and sons of kings and queens just doing anything? Nope. Nope. Even the presidential children in the United States, they have to behave a certain way. They bring honor and glory to their family. Did you ever hear your daddy say, I raised you better than that? Or your mama? She did. You don't bring shame on that name, the family name. It used to be a big thing back in the day. I don't know about now. We kind of live any way we want. But back in the day, you didn't bring shame to your father's name. I walked in my town, and everybody knew who I was. There's Pastor Danny Daniels' daughter. I didn't have a name. I was his daughter. There's his daughter. So what his daughter did was reflection on Pastor Danny Daniels, because everybody knew who my daddy was in that small community. I couldn't get away with nothing. It usually beat me home. If I did something, somebody called my parents and already told them what I'd done and what they see me, where they saw me. So I learned to be very sneaky really quick. I'll just be honest with you. I wasn't pure white in the ever. As God cleaned me up. But it's the same thing with the Father. You're going to suffer for that name. Are you going to be glorified for it? The Bible says you will. You'll see some in this life too. But you'll definitely see it in the life to come. How precious is that thought when you're suffering to say, I'm laying up treasures in heaven. God, help me endure it like I should. Let me bring glory and honor to your name. Most of us don't, do we? We're sitting there going, oh, they're going to get it. Are you going to be like your pastor sitting in the car praying for Old Testament vengeance? And the Holy Spirit has to tell you, girl, you got the wrong heart right now. Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, we gave you time. I was praying hellfire and brimstone. I'm just not going to lie about it, but I was. That was the come to Jesus moment for me in the car. But so let's talk about how do we arm ourselves to be able to endure this? How do we do this? Of course, we have to do it with the beautiful, precious blood of Jesus Christ. But I want you to go to 1 Peter 4. Arm yourselves with the mind of Christ, and even in suffering. Even in suffering. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That applies to every aspect of your life. But 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 reads, forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. King James Version. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Isn't that interesting? That he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. Isn't that interesting? When you learn to suffer in the flesh, you have learned to cease from sin. when it costs you, many of you have children, right? Do you know what you would do to protect that child? You'd give up your own life, wouldn't you? You'd lay down your life. It should be the same way with your Christian walk. I am giving up my flesh. I am letting my flesh cry and suffer. Even though I'm being persecuted and lied about and being someone's being jealous and doing this, that, and the other, I am standing in the right way because I'm suffering for Christ. He's going to protect you. He's going to keep you, but you've got to keep your eyes focused. There's a situation that we went through, that I went through not too long ago. You all know that we had a new car, bought it back in 2022. It's 3 years old. But I would come out, and every day I'd come home, and my husband would look at me, and he said, "Sonia, what is on the car?" And I'd say, I'm not worried you're talking about. I park away from everybody. Poor little Kevin's seen where I park at work. It's just way down the hill, way away from everybody else. But we come to find out that someone was throwing coffee on my car in the morning and letting it sit there all day. So this happened multiple times. I changed where I parked and it would still happen. So I got angry. I got angry. Me and the Holy Spirit, we had to talk. But so I made it known that I was going to put a camera in the car, and even though Holy Spirit told me, says, "No, I'm going to take care of that." I said, "Okay." But I let it be known that there was going to be a camera put in the car and that the person who was vandalizing the car would be persecuted. I let that be known out loud around certain ears, and it instantly stopped. But Holy Spirit still wouldn't let me put the camera in the cars, even though I wanted to. He's like, "No, I'm going to take care of it. You hold your peace. You quiet your flesh down. You suffer patiently for injustice. For my sake," he said, "for my sake." So I'm teaching you from what I have learned. So you've got to have the mind of Christ. So as much as we would want to take our own resolutions into hand, we're supposed to suffer in the flesh, just like he did. And it's interesting, and it says, when you learn to do that, you will cease from sin. You will understand the price is too great for sin to enjoy just that little bit of pleasure that sin's going to bring you. You learn that you're suffering for a greater cause, like Christ did for us. He suffered horribly for us. Horribly for us. But we were so worth it for him. Is he not worth it for you? Isn't that wonderful? Same courage, same resolution, same determination. If when we suffered, we would remember those things, how Christ handled his suffering, I'm sure that it would strengthen you. If you ask him to, "Help me to endure this according to your will, Lord. Give me strength and wisdom to understand, and help me to even have a forgiving heart." And pray for them. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Let's go back to chapter 2, and look at verse 21 through 23. What was the mind that Christ had? 21 through 23. Again, in the King James Version, it says, "For even hereunto were you're called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not back, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committeth himself to him that judgeth righteously." Let's just read the rest of it. "Who had his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree." This is why that we can do this righteously. "That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. so that we could live righteous. But by whose stripes you were healed, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Isn't that wonderful? Because he did it righteously, I can do it righteously. I have that option. It's a choice still. You can still go gung-ho on it if you so choose. But you're living by your flesh and not by the Spirit. But I want you to understand, let's look at what Christ did. It breaks it down. He didn't suffer due to sin. It wasn't his own wrongdoings. It was ours. So when you're suffering, make sure you're suffering because of righteousness and not unrighteousness. No guile was found in his mouth. That means he was not deceitful or dishonest. When you get angry, do you fly off at the handle? We used to say, fly off at your mouth. Yeah. He reviled not back. What does that mean? It means to be abusive, criticize, angrily insult, attacked verbally with abusive language. I'm guilty of that. My husband, when we first met, now you have to realize I grew up in a household with no boys, so it was just me and my sister. So our household was a little different. Not that we couldn't have arguments, but we pretty much just fight. Like, you know, pull hair, claw. Girls fight a little different, especially young ones. But when he came along, he was a little different. He was all boys in his house, all different. He grew up in the city. I grew up in the country. It's a little different. So using verbal language, you know, you get on the baseball field or the basketball court, what's the first thing you start doing? You start talking some trash, don't you? We weren't used to that. So Benny would come in. He hurt my feelings first couple of days. I was like offended by this man talking this stuff. And what I figured out later is the only way he knew how to show love. But I had to understand that. It took me a while. But so one day I was like, okay, boy, I'm going to start giving it back to you. And he said a little slick comment, and I said another slick comment back, and he stopped, and he said, man, you cut to the bone. I said, don't mess with me. That's just my words. So he learned real quick that I had mastered it quickly, that I just don't take it on the surface. No, baby, I take it all the way down. We're going to pierce your heart with it. So do you rival? Do you get that kind of angry language with people when they're hurting you unjustly? It's human nature. I'm not going to say it's not. This is why the flesh has to die. He threatened not. Do you remember he said he could call down so many legions of angels, right? Well, it's what he told Peter. He said, put your sword away in the garden. He said, do you not know that I could call down 12 legions of angels, 10,000 angels, however you want to word it, and my Father would take care of this situation, but I've got to do what I was sent here to do. I've got to finish it. That's my paraphrasing. He never threatened him once during his whole ordeal. And actually, it says he committed himself to him that judges righteously. He patiently endured, completely putting his hands in his Father's care and his will. Do you do that? I'm over there making plans to cause a little damage. I don't know about you. Sometimes my mind gets to thinking and I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, take control of that. That's a great plan, but that's not going to do me any good later. It will get back at him, but it's not going to serve a purpose later. I lose my witness. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Remember the Bible says, for if we faint not, we'll reap what we sow. Right? What are you sowing? Galatians 6 and 9 in ESV says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That means it's going to take time. It's going to take a little time. But that's okay. Jesus set this example in his suffering. He was blameless. He didn't call, didn't make threats. He was always telling them the truth. He spoke in everything, and he was the lamb. That's what the Bible says. He was the slain lamb for us. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy. I didn't see any joy in what Christ did, did you? But I haven't been able to look beyond what is going to now, what is happening now, into what is going to be good that comes out of it. Nothing you endure will ever go to waste. Half the time you walk in it as a ministry, and then you are able to help others that are enduring the same suffering. I love Matthew. We read it earlier, Matthew 5:13-16, the verses, you know, after the Beatitudes, blessed are those that, it says you are called to be salt and light. Interesting analogy, isn't it? Both of these, the darkness hates. What's the darkness? The world, the powers, the principalities. Remember, you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You're wrestling with something, you know, else. He's just using the people around you to persecute you. I love the analogy. It says, in verse 16 of Matthew 5, it says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine before men. Notice we're called to shine. Do you know how you shine? It's not by being belligerent and vulgar with your language. It's when you endure patiently and you're kind. When you sow goodness when they only want to give you the hard stuff. They don't want to give you anything good. But when they see you come down that hallway after they've talked about you and lied about you and done things to you, and you come down that hallway with a smile on your face and joy in your heart, and they see it doesn't tear you down, man, you're putting like hot coals on their head, the Bible says. I like the analogy of salt. Salt is savor. That means it has flavor. One version states, it calls it flavor. You've got to have flavor. Flavor, flavor. Okay. Not everyone will like the flavor that you bring. They don't want that joy and sunshine and peace that no one can understand. They don't want that. That rubs them the wrong way. Actually, it's rubbing them the right way, one pastor said, because it's showing them Jesus, and they don't like that. Darkness doesn't like that. Light. Salt means understanding, insight, wisdom. You will find others who live life carelessly, impulsively, controlled by their feelings and their flesh, and they look at you and they judge you with hatred and anger, jealousy. They will despise you and do all in their power to cause you suffering. They don't like that. They definitely don't like the light. Because, you know, when you come down the hallway after they've done all this stuff to you and you still got joy and peace in your heart, that's a light to them. That's a little too bright. They just keep trying to put it out. I used to tell my daughter when she was little, I'd say, baby, you're one of the lights in the world. And the world's going to hate it. But you just keep being a light. You keep being the light. But I just want you to know, world's going to hate the light. And it's okay. You keep being the light. She doesn't understand, didn't it, at the time. She's much older now. And she's in church. And she understands Mama's wisdom. Even back then, it makes sense to her now. So keep being salt. Keep being light. John 16:3 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, notice not in yourself, in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. And tribulation means pressure, trouble, anguish, burden, persecution, affliction. He says, but be of good cheer. Don't lose the salt and the light. Keep being flavor. Keep being bright. He says, I have overcome the world. Courage means, cheer means to have courage. Keep having courage. And my time is gone, but I want you to, if you get chance, Psalms 34, I want you to read David, what David wrote about suffering. And I'll just do the one verse. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. It's a great chapter. Read the whole thing. It's a promise. You're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. But if you do it accordingly, as our example was given, endure it patiently, Christ-like, he says, not even a bone's going to be broken. What's that old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Suffer for righteousness. It's normal. It's a calling. But it's not something you can't endure with Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your words, your encouragement, your understanding. Thank you, Lord, that you, no surprise, we are no surprise to you, Father, that you sent your Holy Spirit to live within us so that we can overcome the world as you have overcome. We can overcome our flesh as you overcome. We thank you, Lord, that we have the victory through the cross, through resurrection, through the life that you lived here, Jesus. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Now, Lord, let this word take root in our hearts and grow. And may it be something that we pull out, Lord Jesus, and use at our lowest moments to understand that suffering is a calling and we are to suffer like a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.